Good morning, folks, and welcome back to another B2B episode, Breakfast to Business episode with your morning girl, Bea Lim, where we talk shop, we talk life, we talk advocacies, we talk real. Just last month, we did a quick review of McKinsey's business trends for 2021 and beyond, now that we're actually already in the second half of the year. It's already August, and I really seriously cannot understand where time has gone. I just feel like we've just recorded the July episode, and here we are with August, and time is just going fast. You know, last month, we discussed trends on the future of work, culture management, hybrid work models, innovation, tech, entrepreneurship, and sustainability. Today, ladies and gents, we are actually going to zero in on one of the topics that I really felt strongly about in McKinsey's trends, and that is going to be on the future of work, particularly highlighting actually how flexible work arrangements and digitization will affect productivity of employees, and ultimately make businesses successful in the post-pandemic era. Yes, ladies and gents, I really am seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and I hope you guys are too. Now, one of the industries actually that I really admire, because I have really seen it as a strong and resilient sector, has been able to push boundaries in both flexible work and tech innovation, which is none other than the IT BPM industry. This amazing and steadfast industry, ladies and gents, has been an economic driver of the Philippines, and it continues to evolve and to grow as the country delivers world-class services in the global marketplace. In fact, it employs already 1.3 million Filipinos and provides 4.3 million indirect jobs. What does this mean? It means that for every job created by the industry, it gives more jobs to Filipinos across the Philippines. And that is why I super, super admire this industry, because it does not only drive the economy forward, but it provides such a sustainable and great livelihood to Filipinos all around the country. In fact, it even fuels countryside development and gives rise to Philippines' digital cities like Clark, Iloilo, Batangas, and Davao. It really does make me proud, ladies and gents, to be a Filipino and to be a staunch supporter of this industry. In fact, I think I can talk about it for days on end. So I just want to make sure that you guys hear it from the experts who we have here with us today. So it just goes to show that I wanted to talk about the future of work from an expert in this trailblazing industry. No other person can talk about the future of work than who we have with us today. We have the perfect guest with us, and he is an industry leader and an important voice in the business and the IT BPM landscape to talk more about how businesses can thrive in an ever-evolving landscape. I even say that this guy is always two steps ahead of the game, and I can't wait to hear his insights on what we have in store with you today. I have the honor of introducing Mr. Ray Ontal, the President and CEO of the IT and Business Process Association of the Philippines, or the IBPAP, with us here at B2B Breakfast to Business. One of Ray's key roles is to advocate for the Philippines' unique value proposition in the IT BPM industry in order to attract investors and locators to the country. He also works passionately with key stakeholders in the government and the academe to help sustain the growth of the sector, not only here in the Philippines, but globally as well. Ladies and gents, I have the honor of having Mr. Ray Ontal here at B2B. Mr. Ray Ontal, the amazing Ray Ontal, how are you today?
Good morning, Bea, and really appreciate you having me here today.
Well, we really appreciate that you're here with us today, Ray. I know you and I talk about so many things about the industry, but the future of work is something that I know has been talked about, you know, in every webinar in, webinar out. But more importantly, we've talked about this in the past when people were not even talking about it, and here we are living it. So Ray, how have you been the past couple months? I know that it's been quite a journey because of the pandemic. So before we go into business talk, I just wanted to know, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Bea. And as always, we've been quite busy. Good busy, that is, not doing quite a bit for our industry. A lot of focus on many areas, be it talent, even policy shaping. And very recently, we had been so involved in vaccine administration. So there's a lot of good stuff to share, and really looking forward to sharing some more details as we progress in this program.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Ray. I mean, I know, Ray, that there's been so many changes that we've experienced in the past 18 months, right? It's just change, if not by the day, it's changing by the hour and by the minute. And I know that we're not the only ones experiencing it. In fact, the change is happening all across the globe. I wanted to check in with you, Ray. How is the Philippine IT BPM industry faring in the now normal?
Well, I think before we get into answering that very curt question, I think it's just important to just very quickly look back. It's been, 15 months since we had to deal with this major crisis. And 2020 was very challenging, to say the least. And I think that's an understatement, considering all the difficulties that we had to overcome. And precisely around that, as we closed off 2020 last year, we were bracing ourselves in terms of our growth trajectory. And in fact, we were prepared and happy with the flat growth. Fortunately, because of a late surge in growth, not in COVID, towards Q4, we managed to, in fact, grow by as much as 1.8% headcount-wise. Again, a fantastic achievement, considering that, for many other industries, it was a heavy contraction on their end. And even if we look at our own GDP, where we contracted by as much as 9.5% last year, the fact that we managed to grow and bring new work to Filipinos is a fantastic achievement.
Ray, absolutely. First and foremost, I just really wanted to say congratulations. I mean, the growth that you guys have posted has been absolutely amazing. And like what I said earlier in my introduction, I really do view and believe that this industry is really resilient. I mean, with all the talk, right, of tech and innovation, I really feel that this industry is the one that was able to prepare all of us, actually, to push forward. Nobody thought or nobody saw this coming. But when it hit us, we rolled up our sleeves and just got back to work, right? And I think that is what we can attribute the growth of the industry on. So Ray, on that note, I just wanted to quickly check also, how our different companies or businesses in the sector is doing, now that we are in the now normal. I'm sure they've experienced so many different changes. I was wondering if you knew what their outlook was, not only for 2021, but beyond.
Yeah. And that's very fitting, considering that as we started out the year and we did recognize the fact that we grew, the immediate question was, what's the pulse among the companies here? And it's fairly great the fact that we have very strong relationship with a number of these country heads running, this very difficult show for their own organization day in and day out. And so we reach out to them via a very formal survey augmented with our own direct conversations. And, after going through the data where we were able to sift through perhaps more than 100 companies, which comprise easily 50% of the IT BPM headcount, I was pleasantly surprised to see that 87% of them, that's huge, 87% of them said that they are anticipating some growth this year, and they're even seeing more growth next year. And the balance, 13%, are saying that they will stay flat. Now, looking into the numbers further, those who said that they will grow, they gave a range. And the range that was given was from 5 to 15%. There were a few outliers who even went as far to say that they will probably grow by as much as 20%. But for purposes of just, you know, managing the information that we are sharing, it's anywhere between 5 to 15%, which again is much higher than our recalibration numbers, no? Where we said that for the next 2 or 3 years, we're anticipating a CAGR of about 5 to 5.5%. So anything closer to 10 is definitely, you know, a welcome development.
Nice. Ray, that's absolutely amazing for me. Like you were saying, I mean, I know we were managing the information. 5 to 15%, it's huge. Like, you know, the name of the game last year in 2020 was to keep our heads above water, right? To just stay afloat. And break even was, and pushing your cash flow to December was, you know, cause for victory, right? But here we are really looking at, okay, we're not just surviving the big changes all around the world. We're actually also pushing to thrive in the change we're experiencing. And I think that, you know, this industry is the one of the industries that have really, that has really proven, right, that it can, it will change as the world evolves, and it can change very fast as well. Ray, quick question though. You said that you guys ran a survey on you know, the pulse of the industry, our members, the companies. What was the pulse that you were getting in terms of work models? You know, I mean, of course we had no choice. We all went into, you know, remote work or work from home, as everybody would say. But yeah, how has it been when you ran the survey to today? What numbers are we seeing in terms of work models?
I think it's fitting lang, no, for us to look back first and just quickly assess how much work from home we were doing before the pandemic. And I'd say that probably no more than 3 to 5% before COVID, no, pre-pandemic, we're doing work from home. And especially for the bigger organizations, even from a capability and infrastructure standpoint, that wasn't even in their immediate design. And so when we were forced to reassess our operating model, I really give credit, no, to these leaders, no, of their respective organizations for having quickly embraced the transformation that was needed to operationalize such a large industry, and in their case, large organization. Of course, I think we should extend credit where credit is due, and we do appreciate all the help that we got from our friends in government, no, for facilitating a lot of the policies, no, that allowed us to be able to accelerate this movement from what used to be purely an on-premise execution to what was at some point a very much hybrid model, which was leveraging significantly on the ability to deliver work from home. Now, I think it's also important to recognize that this industry is in a unique spot, no? Considering that even with our scale, we're in fact able to deliver work effectively and maintain productivity and exceed even productivity in certain cases. And it's a luxury that no other industries are able to enjoy. No? That's why if I do my reflection, a large part of our ability to in fact grow in 2020 and our, you know, view of the future is influenced by this unique ability of ours to take advantage of the hybrid work model. And so, you know, where we are at right now, I think, broadly speaking, for the industry, we're running at perhaps anywhere between 65-35 or 75-30, with a larger proportion bias towards work from home. But that's industry-wide. If you look at it company by company, the execution varies because of some other unique requirements or demands of their end clients that prevents them, no, from taking the hybrid model to its extreme. But the view is that this work from home model, or even this hybrid model, even beyond the pandemic, we're seeing that it's here to stay. And the question really is around how much of your workforce will be pivoting towards this hybrid setup vis-a-vis, you know, the purely on-premise arrangement that we had before.
No, Ray, you read my mind. That was going to be my next question for you. So you already shared it. I mean, I think that, you know, I do agree with you. We saw the amazing transformation. We were forced, like, I love the term, we were forced to do it. We had no choice, but we were able to do it. I know that the industry is also big on business continuity plans. So here we were putting it together, right? Working with our friends in government. And suddenly we had to push the button to say, yep, it's go time, right? It's go time for our business continuity models. But at the same time, we can see that what was then the business continuity plan is what, you know, became actually our quote unquote new normal. And you actually already did, Ray, a quick segue into what I wanted to talk about in the next part of our conversation, which is the big question of everybody. You know, what now is the future of work? And I love the theme that you've already started, Ray, which is to look back at what was happening and then see where we are now. So I'll do that as well. I'll take a page from your book, Ray. You know, Ray and I have been actually working together and we've looked into so many different conferences, topics and you know, leadership forums that talk about actually, you know, business, the business landscape, trends and what we're seeing in the environment. And I know, Ray, you know, with your extensive background in business and IT BPM, talks about, you know, the Internet of Things, technology, innovation, the future of work and the future of talent, right? The jobs of the future were conversations we were having 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago. And we had, you know, all of these different thought leaders coming in and talking about automation and robotics and all of these solutions that we could see coming, but the, you know, being able to adopt it was, you know, we were taking it in pieces. And then suddenly here we are launched into this now normal and we're living what we talked about before. So advancing into the biggest buzzword or the buzz phrase of this, you know, of our current situation, which is the future of work. We've, you know, we were launched into the new normal, actually living what we've talked about years ago. As we prepare for the post-COVID-19 world, the big question in leaders' minds right now is whether hybrid work is going to be the future of work. So I wanted to quickly check in with you, Ray. You know, what is hybrid work setup first, right? How do you define a hybrid work setup for leaders who are thinking about it or, you know, maybe looking into it? Go ahead.
Yeah. So there are several permutations that are being looked at as well as being done as we speak. No, I think the model that is more prevalent at this point is where you look at your organization and you do a split, no? Purely because of the need to be physically on site for whatever reason. So you would have a percentage of your organization who will be, you know, reporting to work continuously within the office premises. And you have another segment of your population that are close to being, at least for the time being, permanently doing work from home. Because the work that they do allows them to execute the work from the confines of their residences. Now, the tweak there is that occasionally, as you move from one account to the next, or as you transition and you close out contracts, no, your employee needs to be flexible in the sense that they could be moved around. And the process of moving them around may result to this rotation wherein, you know, perhaps for the past 6 months, you're doing work from home. But for the next 6 months, you may need to be physically going to the office. No? So that's one. Those are two permutations that are currently in play. Moving forward, as we exit the pandemic, I think there are more variants that are being reassessed at this point. One of those is looking at a combination. No? For an individual, for example, or for a team, what is the best a balance that you can achieve, because there are inherent advantages really to doing work from home. And I will not, you know, get into that right now. But the fact remains that in-person interaction, we believe, will be important for many reasons as well. In which case, another permutation is for employee to, in fact, do a some sort of a juggling of their schedule, wherein either, you know, within a period of 1 month, you say 50% of your time you're doing work from home, and another 50% is in the office, and the ratio can vary, no? Or it could even be on a weekly basis, no? We already see some companies, in fact, here as I speak, executing this already, where they do 2 weeks in the office and 2 weeks in working from home, and they just manage it internally within their department or their division so that there is always sufficient footprint, no, in the office premises. But this will continue to evolve. And in fact, when we looked at the other countries where vaccination has already been done extensively, and if in anybody's assessment, they can all go back to normal, but they haven't. Their new normal is really a hybrid setup. And you see that there's strong preference on the part of employees to be able to continue some semblance of a hybrid model. And on the part of employers, they also see that there are, you know, just distinct advantages to executing it this way. So I think that evolution is being accepted more as we speak, and it will just thrive as we move on.
I love the word that you use, Ray, which is evolution. It's like we can't also really pinpoint that this is it, right? Not like, yeah. I don't know if you feel the same way, Ray. Like before, we would be so excited to look at what the trends are going to be for next year. And you know that that's it. The set of 20 things you need to look at. But now, you know, with these things, they're just going to change, you know, in a heartbeat, actually, because we respond to what, you know, people, individuals, and society needs as we exit this pandemic. On that note, Ray, you talked about employees and people, our talents, right? Which is so important. You said it. We have processes, we have operations, and we have the tech, right? But then we also have the people, and they are at the heart of our businesses. Quick question for you, Ray. How does a hybrid work setup increase productivity, especially in this day and age where everything is so fast-paced? Like, in your opinion, yeah, how does it increase productivity or help employees, so to speak?
So it's a contribution of multiple factors, in fact, no? And the transition from being productive in the office to being productive from home consistently didn't happen by accident, no? Firstly, I think as an organization, you need to be able to adopt some sort of revision on your culture. There's a lot of trust that needs to be extended in this setup where you are not physically seated together or you physically see each other. No, very much, and I can share quickly, you know, how we even transitioned for IBPAP, no? Where in the case of IBPAP, as you know, Bea, you know, our execution is heavily leveraging on face-to-face interaction. And you could just imagine the kind of questions I had on my mind last year when the realization dawned that we had to really move into this setup, no? And the fact remains that we made step changes in certain areas, but we also did a reimagination of the work that we were doing, and a reassessment of how best we can achieve, you know, the objectives that we have set for ourselves, given the fact that, you know, the previous norms are no longer accessible or even available, even if we forced it. And that transition and acceptance and the culture moving into the equation, I think, is one key ingredient to just set the stage for a successful hybrid setup. And then, of course, there are tools that are required to support you, no? In this day and age, as we embrace more of the cloud as a result of the infrastructure requirements and the help as well coming from, you know, our partners in the telecom sector, there are also a lot of technologies that are at play that previously we were not even thinking of employing. And many of those we probably used occasionally but are now use almost on a daily basis to the point that, you know, we're so saturated with some of these tools that we have available. And then there are the practical side of things. Obviously, for employees, for many of them who are doing work from home, they have gotten rid of the need to travel. You know? And given the horrendous traffic situation that we used to have, you know, for many individuals, it could be a 2-hour, 3-hour savings per day, you know, and not just time consumption, but also your physical, the physical stress, you know, moving from one place to the next, you remove that. And suddenly you have better access to not just resources that were previously available to you anyway, but now you are more physically prepared, you know, to deal with the rigors of work. And then aided with additional support infrastructures that gives you the ability to execute better and faster than before, I think all of those contribute to the high productivity that we have observed for individuals who are doing a hybrid setup.
No, that's really cool, Ray. I loved what you said about being able to see how we are more prepared for work because we have taken out some of the external factors that were actually hindering productivity. And we didn't know it because we just thought that that was the way of life, right? Like, for example, traffic, like what you said. I love what you said. It wasn't just about the time and the commute and the money that goes into that, but it's also your energy. So where do you find the energy to be productive as well when you're stuck in traffic for 2 or 3 hours? So I totally feel you and I hear you on that one. One other thing that you said resonated with me, which is infrastructure. And I can just imagine that, you know, a hybrid work setup, because you have a setup in the office and a setup, you know, in a remote location, whether it's a person's home or whatnot. I can just imagine that, you know, this kind of a hybrid work setup will require a robust infrastructure, right? And I know we have, you know, we have worked so hard to get the infrastructure up and running here in the Philippines because we want to be able to deliver global services around the world. But I do have to ask, how is the industry coping in this aspect of needing, you know, this robust infrastructure for their operating model?
So obviously, the journey hasn't been easy as well. No? Again, if we look back to how this manifested itself at the start of the pandemic, suddenly everybody realized that they had to be able to figure out a way to execute work from home. But then we got into the stark realization that the infrastructure wasn't ready. I mean, even if the dongles, no, the internet dongles was a mechanism to quickly get somebody up to speed in terms of getting internet access, notwithstanding the reliability, of course. Now, the question was there enough for the hundreds of thousands of people who needed it at the same time? And, you know, kudos to our friends in the telecoms sector. They dealt with the challenge. It wasn't easy. In certain cases, they had to be very resourceful in terms of, you know, getting this equipment to the employees. And in certain cases, even these employees were in provinces, no? And at the time, if you would recall, the transportation was very, very much restricted. So some companies went as far as charting, you know, planes, so that they can move this equipment around. And then once we managed to get into a good cadence, no, on the supply side, the next realization was that for many, this dongle infrastructure is not sufficient. And so we needed to rely on faster internet. No? But for legacy connectivity that was already around for decades using copper wire, the ability to reroute traffic and gain higher bandwidth access with a consistent reliability became a problem. And so for many of these telecoms provider, they had to resort to a couple of things. They had to deploy multiple cell sites, you know, to enable 4G traffic, no, which is more reliable and faster. And in many instances, they had to physically lay out fiber optics. And so I really give props, you know, to our friends in the telecom sector. They have significantly invested a lot of their capex to expand the infrastructure as compared to what it used to be. We are in a much better place now compared to where we were last year. I wouldn't say it's perfect. There's still a lot that we need to do to push the agenda further. But I think we need to also recognize this great contribution that they have done so far.
Absolutely, Ray. I couldn't agree more. It's just been a journey. I love the term that you use. It's been a journey, because it's been, you know, we were all not, you know, we didn't see this coming, and we had to act fast. And like what you said, we had to act fast, but we also had to be resourceful, given that the situation called for us to stay put, you know. And so having to lay down plans, draw it out, and be, you know, extra resourceful has been an amazing journey for all of us. And I do agree that we need to give credit to our amazing partners who have made it possible for us to continue not only working, but living and playing and, you know, actually continuing on with life, right? Because it's been such a hardship for everybody as we, you know, had to deal with this pandemic. Ray, clearly with our conversation, you know, we can see that the different things or the different plans that we've talked about years before can be done, is being done, and will be done. You know, gone are the days where we can say that it was still a work in progress. You know, yeah. We can actually literally say that, you know, when pushed to the limit, it's actually easy to implement. I mean, not easy, but, you know, it can be done. It's quite exciting, actually, for me to see how companies and businesses will continue to shift its operations to respond to what our people, society, and our clients need post-COVID, or as we enter the post-COVID era. What I want to talk about, Ray, next would be what should be our need-to-dos, right? What are the need-to-dos to successfully carry out the future of work on a hybrid work model, and how we can actually sustain productivity while making sure that everybody's safe, secure, healthy, and thriving in this new normal or the reimagined future, as you said. Quick question, are there challenges that the industry is encountering now that would possibly hinder the sustainability of a hybrid work setup? What do you think?
I think for starters, there is an immediate and urgent item that we need to overcome, and that is largely policy in nature. No? Everybody recognizes the fact that, you know, especially for those who are operating within the confines of the economic zone, the work from home arrangement that we are currently doing is at best a concession. No? And that concession is expected to end by middle of September this year. And while it has gone through several extensions, you know, over the course of the pandemic, we are looking at a longer term cure so that we can have a policy that is truly reflective of the needs of the times. You know? And we have evolved significantly from what used to be the model that was accepted. And I think it's high time that from a policy standpoint, we also pivot and pivot quick, because most of the other supply locations, our competitions, other countries have already done so faster than we did. And so we're working closely, obviously, with our friends in government to, you know, jointly figure out an arrangement that will allow us to sustain this model that we are espousing currently, and we anticipate will continue to be the norm. I mean, if you look at it, we have established a new baseline. No? And this baseline cannot go back to a previous baseline. We need to bring it forward. And that need to bring forward is not something that we can just take for granted. It is a must. It is important for us to to be able to not just survive, but really thrive.
Absolutely, Ray. See, ladies and gents, I said he's always two steps ahead of the game, you know, from platforms to people. And now we're talking about policy, which is such an important part, actually, Ray, of the external environment, right? It's not just about whether we can do it or not, but it's, you know, what are the other puzzle pieces in play here, right? And how we can say, in your words, pivot, but pivot faster, because, you know, everything else is moving super fast. And because, Ray, I did say that you're always two steps ahead of the game, I also know that you're probably planning this already. You know, we're in the month of August, and in about 45 days to 60 days, leaders are going to come together to do their planning for 2022. And we talked about the future of work and how we see hybrid work models being the future. But I do have to ask you, Ray, you know, in your capacity, of course, what are the other watchouts you are seeing out there, or what are the other watchouts you're anticipating, and how can we, like, for example, me also, like, prepare for these, especially that our planning sessions for 2022 are just around the corner?
Well, there are a few things that I would consider tactical at best, no? But we need to execute again. And there are a few other things that would be more strategic in nature and will require a lot more heavy lifting for many of us, no? From a tactical standpoint, I think it's important for everybody to recognize, as I have just mentioned a while ago, that the new baseline has already been set. No? If you are not yet in that new baseline, coming from an infrastructure and human capital standpoint, then there's severe worry on the viability of your business moving forward. But for those who have quickly caught up, from that baseline, you need to now redraw and reimagine how you will execute your business. I mean, some little things, for example, in terms of access to talent, I think there needs to be widespread recognition that the boundaries and physical geographies are no longer there. No? The hiring radius has become a feature of the internet capability that is accessible to individuals. So if previously we had to physically set up offices in remote locations, that need is no longer needed. No? And what we need to establish are perhaps a lot of these community-based districts where we're able to work with our friends this time from the real estate sector. And jointly figure out, you know, what kind of reimagined setup will be from a workplace and geographic strategy standpoint that we can hatch to allow us to get better access to talent from the countryside, as an example, and even outside of the country if need be. More strategically, I wanted to take this opportunity, Bea, to share with you that we are already thinking of our roadmap to 2020. So this is us really looking at, you know, what are the next big thing for our industry, and being given an early start, you know, what do we need to account for, and what do we need to execute against, what kind of interventions are needed. And we have the next, you know, few months to craft that agenda and to craft the necessary legwork to find the right answers.
No, absolutely, Ray. See, it's not just about 2022. It's even really looking, you know, into the roadmap of the industry. I know, so a side note to our listeners as well, you know, the IBPAP does create these roadmaps that the industry can take a look at and look into the agenda so that we can continuously work towards the overall goal. And that is, of course, to continue really pushing the envelope and continuing being a strong economic driver, not actually only of the Philippines, right, Ray, but really the global marketplace. That is the goal. And being able to look into the interventions, as you mentioned, it's going to be quite exciting now that we have new puzzle pieces and new platforms we need to consider. On that note, Ray, another big question, of course, of everybody, right, is digital transformation. I mean, I'm so sorry. I'm sure you hear this on an hourly basis, but I need to bring it up as well. You know, a lot of folks are asking, you know, we said digital transformation is coming. We need to embrace digital transformation. And a lot of people think that we have already or that we are in the process to. But what's next? How about continued digital transformation? Are we actually going to see more of this as we map out our business plans, you think?
If I will borrow, you know, a statement made by a few individuals already, Mr. COVID has become the great digital transformation officer. It has forced us time and again, I'm using the same word, to really reassess, you know, the infrastructure and the alignment of our talent with the business objectives. And to a large extent, many of the pieces of digital transformation is already in play. The fact that we have embraced cloud technology to, you know, the degree that we have so far to enable this ability of ours to work from anywhere, anytime, is one demonstrated execution of the digital transformation. The other one is us embracing as well cybersecurity disciplines, to protect ourselves from the risk and threats arising from the same setup that we are now into. In the early days of the pandemic, we had to accelerate development of bots, to allow us to continue the work that we do, even if access to physical human talent is not immediately available. And I think all of those are just the tip, of the next wave of transformation. Once and now that we have already set up the baseline, as I have referred to a while ago. So the baseline is multiple things. It's a baseline in terms of your human capital strategy. It's a baseline in terms of your geographic location strategy. It's a baseline in terms of the technology reach that your organization has embarked on. But the thing that will really define and distinguish the winners, from those who will be performing on average, will be how you will take the next step in terms of reimagining the next outcome for your business.
No, absolutely, Ray. You know, as you were talking about this baseline, Ray, I had a visual of a marathon race, and you're pushing and you are strategizing and how you're going to reach the finish line. But as you continue to go and as you continue to push yourself, you see that finish line moving and moving. Like, the baseline has been set and we can't stay status quo because status quo is just there. I mean, we were done with it. The now normal has taken over. Things that we used to do in the past are, we should just think about it as what it is. It's now in the past. And what we need to do is to actually accept the now normal and claim that future. And the best part of doing that is to actually redefine, or in your words, Ray, reimagine. What is the work? What is the goal? And how do we get there, given, the resources that we have? Ray, it has truly been such a riveting conversation. And I'm sure if we went on and on, we'll be here until tonight, right? But I know that, of course, our conversation also has to end. And I would like for us actually to end it with what your food for thought is, Ray. I mean, it's a beautiful Wednesday. Folks have had a busy week and we want them to continue, working through, all of the different changes happening around them. And as they plan for 2022, with everything that we've talked about, what would be the nuggets of wisdom or the food for thought that you would like to leave them as they claim this now normal?
So right now, I think many of us are inundated with so many strategies, right? So many models, so many frameworks. But I think it's important at the end of the day to have clarity of purpose for every organization. And the clarity of purpose will drive many things. It will force you to have one foot in the present and deal with what is needed today. But at the same time, this clarity of purpose will have you, your other foot, into the future, so that you're able to, in fact, prepare yourself and your organization to this wonderful journey that is ahead of us. Thank you, Bea.
Oh my goodness, Ray. We will just put that in a poster and spread it all over. I think every single leader needs to have that on their laptop as they do their planning. It's clarity of purpose, ladies and gents. I mean, just to look into what you've said, Ray, there's so many things that I drew strength and inspiration from. And I think a lot of our business leaders who are listening today can really look into the future of work as something that is not only exciting and promising, but also something that is necessary for us to grow, to push ourselves, actually, to push ourselves to break barriers. You know, I'm sure you've heard this countless of times, Ray, when people ask you, think outside the box, you know, but then it seems like at this moment, you know, the answer there is what box, you know, we need to be able to look into things as, you know, literally everything is possible at the moment because we are redefining that future. And as long as what Ray has said, ladies and gents, that we have clarity of purpose, we will be able to deal with what we are dealing with right now, but at the same time, prepare ourselves for the future. I love that, Ray. I can't stop talking about it. I'm going to make sure that you have a poster of this and we will spread it all around. Ray, on that note, I would love for everybody to get to know more about the IBPAP, to know more about what you guys are doing. You guys are doing such fantastic strides and things for the industry. And I want everybody to rally behind this amazing industry because we can push that baseline and we can push for economic growth and recovery in this digital world. So where can people find IBPAP, Ray? And are there any events or series that you would like to invite our listeners to? Go ahead.
You can learn more by going to our website. That's www.ibpap.org. We are also very much present in LinkedIn and Facebook. And we are currently planning for our International Innovation Summit, which is going to happen this November. So do watch out for that. In the meantime, we do have many programs in the offing, and we really look forward to engaging with you.
Great. Ray, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for actually being with us here today and sharing your wisdom. But more importantly, Ray, for giving us hope that, you know, that the future, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be in trends and, you know, something that's on paper. It's about evolution and it's about really taking your purpose and really pushing it forward with everything around us. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Mr. Ray Ontal of the IBPAP, President and CEO, a strong voice and advocate of the industry and the Philippine economy, just talking to us about the future of work. There are so many aspects, too many to mention. But if there was one thing that Ray said that I really, two things actually that I wanted to share. It was really number one, that if we want to pivot, we have to pivot fast because there are so many other things at play here. And if we want to really push ourselves and push that baseline and survive and thrive and claim that future, we need to pivot, but we need to pivot fast. And to do that, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be armed with the clarity of your purpose to be able to deal with today and the future as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ray Ontal, maraming salamat. Ray, more power to the IBPAP and the team. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was another episode of B2B Breakfast to Business. Catch us next month for our next episode right here at B2B, where we talk shop, talk real, talk life, and talk advocacy. Stay safe, everybody, and remember, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Hang in there, we can do this, and push that baseline. Thank you very much. And that's it for today's episode of B2B Breakfast to Business. Join our Facebook community, the Breakfast to Business Club, where we can delve deeper into all of these different topics. The community link is actually in the description, so check it out and join in on the conversation. Also, don't forget to tune into Team Asia's social media accounts to keep yourself updated on these breakfast happenings. We are on Facebook, www.facebook.com/teamasiaph. We are on Instagram, www.instagram.com/teamasiaph. We are on LinkedIn, www.linkedin.com/company/teamasia. And of course, our wonderful website, www.teamasia.com. Remember, stay safe. See you again soon here at B2B Breakfast to Business. Thank you. Ciao.